La Jolla, California, UC San Diego Athletics presents TritonCast, the podcast for the UC San Diego Tritons. Here are your hosts, Jeff Toriel and Jenny Stevens.
Welcome to episode 51 of TritonCast, the podcast for UC San Diego Athletics. I'm Jeff Toriel. Jenny Stevens is on assignment. Whether you found us on UCSDTritons.com or your favorite podcast platform, we're so happy you've joined us this week. Coming up in this week's Triton Spotlight, we'll chat with senior Everett Lau from the UC San Diego baseball team. He recently had a very memorable, fairy tale-like ending to his Triton career. We'll chat about that and hear about his winding journey from his native Hawaii to the Bay Area to Alabama and finally here to La Jolla. Plus, Everett takes part in our Quick Pick segment, and we'll find out his go-to spot when tourists visit the island of Oahu. Our conversation with Everett Lau comes your way shortly in today's Triton Spotlight. But first, we go around campus. Head over to UCSDTritons.com for a terrific story on women's basketball coach Heidi Vanderveer and her sister Tara, who recently won a national championship at Stanford. That story is a terrific collaboration between Jenny and former Triton softball standout Maddie Lewis. You won't want to miss it. Also on campus, the athletics department has been recognized with a pair of national awards for both marketing and development. You can read more online. Now it's on to this week's Triton Spotlight. Our conversation is with UC San Diego baseball senior Everett Lau. In the team's final game this season, Lau came up in the bottom of the ninth inning with the bases loaded and the Tritons trailing by a score of 4-1.
Yep. Throwing out at home. 1-1 pitch. Oh, he got a hold of it.
Oh, my goodness.
It's deep. It's gone. The Tritons have won it on a walk-off grand slam by Everett Lau. He did what?
What a senior day.
Wow, Everett, what an amazing way to end your collegiate career with that walk-off. Describe that at bat.
The first two at bats didn't go as planned. I'll be honest. I think it was a rollover to first, maybe a flare to left field. So it's pretty cool to get that last at bat going up there with the bases loaded. I thought that was pretty cool. Just the game finds you. And sure enough, I was found in that same situation multiple times that past week with the bases loaded, whether it was two outs or one out, but multiple situations. So that was cool that reappeared again and presented itself so I could try to go do something. But yeah, just trying to hit something out of the infield. And sure enough, I mean, I think it was like a 1-1 pitch and I was able to catch it a little out of the front. So that was pretty cool. But definitely high stress situation. Last game, senior year, parents there, all the parents there. So definitely one for the books, so the adrenaline rushing, but I was able to find a good pitch to swing at and everything took care of itself.
Yeah, it's such an amazing moment. And as a team, offensively, you hadn't gotten anything going. I mean, their starting pitcher was terrific. And so here it is, your team is down 4-1 in the bottom of the ninth. Clearly, you're not trying to get all the runs back on one swing, but what kind of pitch were you looking for, or were you?
Just trying to look for something. They did a good job pitching. It was kind of like a submarine person all weekend, and we had a tough time. The pitcher, the starter, so kind of just hung me at a slider. Nothing too fast. I was able to see it up. I think that's one of the big things that was going in, and we struggled earlier in the game. It was just sliders down, two seamers in, So yeah, that was a pretty good adjustment, and just so happened he threw it up, so he gave me a good chance to swing at it. But yeah, I think they were shutting us down for a good part of the weekend, and so that was pretty cool to finish the way we did, especially on that last game because the momentum wasn't really in our favor most of the time.
What was it like emotionally that day on senior day? There's 16 of you that were honored before the game, as you noted, having family there, but it certainly wasn't a typical year, right? The stands weren't full and obviously capacity was limited because of the pandemic and so on. So you go through this emotional moment of senior day, knowing this is your final game. And then you have to try as a team to put all that behind you and play a game. So what was that emotion like?
That was a little different to do the ceremony before, which I think was pretty good that they did it that way, just in case like the outcome came the other way. That'd be tough thing, senior night on loss. But I don't know. I think that was pretty cool. An actual senior night, granted that last year was cut short. The coaching staff and whatever the seniors could have done to put together senior day or night was pretty cool. And to see 17 other people come back or 17 other people, seniors leaving was a cool experience for me. Lots of seniors, just a new program. Just seeing how it all kind of came down to that last moment, senior night. So that was pretty cool. Emotions wise, I thought it'd be more sad, to be honest. I'll be honest though, in the ninth inning, yeah, I was a little sad. But you just keep playing and see what happens. So that was a really cool senior experience as a whole. Just that whole up and down roller coaster, within the last inning, the last two innings, I guess.
And such a memorable season overall for this program, being the first in Division I. And for you personally, way back on February 27th, I'm sure that seems like forever ago, that was at San Diego State. You drove in four runs. The Tritons pick up their first ever win in Division I. What do you remember about that day?
Wow, that was pretty cool. Just something that is cool to be a part of, transitional phase for UCSD, especially going from Division II to Division I. And just to see the program grow. I technically shouldn't have been here this year to experience this whole change and stuff. So that's pretty cool to especially get the first win. And then I think, what did we finish, above 500?
Yeah, and Big West play, absolutely. And team really turned it on down the stretch.
So that's kind of cool just to go out there. And regardless if we're playing for anything, just trying to make a solid statement for UCSD. And whatever, you have your name behind UCSD, just kind of go out there and show that we're a good program, which is pretty cool to see, especially coming from not the bottom, but expected to be picked last or second to last, whatever. So that was cool just to go out there and compete.
Mm-hmm. No question about that. Let's go back to last year. So the program's final year in Division II, as you noted, it should have been your senior year. We'll get into that in a second. But last year, team had a legitimate shot to go deep in the postseason at the Division II level. We all know what happened. The pandemic cut the season short. You guys were 17-4 as a team when the season ended. What was the emotion like? And what do you remember about how you found out when the season was over and those kinds of things?
Wow, that's nearly almost more than a year ago, huh? Last year was probably one of the most interesting years. I'm sure for everybody, but it was more coming from Division I and being at the College World Series. I think it was really cool that we could have had a legitimate shot to go to the D2 World Series, which I was all for. I think that yes, we did have a legitimate shot, especially with seeing the people coming back and seeing what we put together this year. And that would have been something cool to share, just regardless of division, to go out there and try to play for a championship. Yeah, it did. I mean, we lost Shea. I mean, good for him. He got drafted and stuff. But other than that, it was a good returning team. And we lost a few other, two other players. But I just think it was a good returning team. Kind of just solid core. Played good ball at D2. And just so happened, I mean, put some good work in and we played solid ball at D1. So that was pretty cool, just to see the growth out of everybody, including myself. But yeah, to play for a D2 title or just a title in general would have been probably one of the coolest things to do. And I think that everybody should have had the chance to experience playing for something like that. So it's unfortunate that we got cut short, but it's cool that we got to come back and try to prove something else, especially in a different division in their first year. So that was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get into your path in a minute, but last year should have been your senior year. You were at UC San Diego for what should have been 1 year when the program was Division II. Of course, the season got cut short. The NCAA granted an extra year of eligibility and said you could come back if you chose to. But what went into your own decision personally to come back?
Wow, just that's a good question. Yeah, just to go out there and play, especially just time is so short and things can be taken away so fast, just like COVID. I know it's one of those like rare events that like, oh, you lost your year, but I mean, people with injuries and stuff and go through these years just trying to play and not get hurt. So I guess just using my last year, you work so hard. I'm sure everybody does, to just go out there and play, especially for your 4 years at college and time is so short. I mean, being on this couch and sitting at home on the other end rather than, I mean, going out to summer ball is completely different. And yeah, it's just, I mean, the coaching staff was great. They let me come back, which is awesome. But yeah, just to mainly go out there and play, be a kid again, run out there. Especially somebody like me, not ready to go into the workforce. Definitely was a good year to just go out there and just play one more time before whatever happens in the future. But to exhaust my 4 years of college eligibility is something that, I mean, I think I would solely do if I had to do this all over again and not cut it short. Yeah, I it's kind of funny because like COVID, it was like a pre like look of like, wow, like what life was after baseball. Kind of sucks. So it's cool to get back that fall and show up. And so kind of like looking back on it, it was probably the best thing to come back and play. And I don't think I would have turned it down. 100% would have took it up on its offer when it presented itself. So yeah, just like that. I was back to play. Just trying to find out the logistics of the NCAA, and for sure I was back in no time.
That's fantastic. Well, Everett Lau is our guest this week on TritonCast. He grew up in Hawaii. After graduating high school, you played for a couple of years at College of San Mateo. How did you end up in the Bay Area?
That was a cool experience. Just junior college. There's a lot of junior colleges in California. So I kind of just threw the dart and hope one stuck. And just so happened it worked out. Did well those 2 years, and I think it was one of the best 2 years of my life, hands down, for sure. Just the people you met, the baseball, the amount of baseball you played. There's no rules out there, so it's kind of like you just go out there and you practice every single day, and find a way to get better. So that was my 2 years there, which is really, really awesome experience in the Bay. And maybe I'll move there in the future, maybe not. But
was it an adjustment for you being away from home and far from home for the first time?
Freshman year, yes. Freshman year was the worst. Moving in, parents dropped me off, crying everywhere. It was honestly the biggest growing point of, I'd say, or one of two, the biggest growing points in my life. Just because it was like, you're on your own, you're junior college, you're not in the dorms with freshmen. You're basically living next to residential families, grandparents. And you kind of just meet friends on the fly, try to schedule rides, food. So it's not like your university lifestyle. And so that's the part of Justin, just kind of like, well, this is not really like, this is college, but not like college. And so that was probably one of the tougher things, just trying to adjust, especially coming out of high school where you don't know much better. So yeah, that was probably one of the growing pains of my career.
How did you eventually kind of settle in and find your rhythm?
Wow, good question. I think the baseball just kind of settled in. I guess regardless of where you go, the baseball always be the same. Not necessarily, but just kind of like the security blanket, I guess. Outside of whatever was going on in San Mateo. And so you kind of just, that's what I learned too, is just kind of focus, keep your head straight and try to focus on the task. Because, yeah, it's kind of like being in San Mateo and being a junior college, you're on your own. And I think you don't have that guidance to kind of just keep you on the right track since you're rarely next to, like, you're rarely with peers in a sense that you're on your own. Everybody's living differently. But adjustment is more just, I think, the baseball. Once you settle on the baseball field, I think everything fits well. Just because you're going out there to play baseball, not really go to school. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to say that on camera, but yeah. So that's kind of the cool adjustment that kind of get me through the transition. And then having some family out there, which is kind of cool. But other than that, yeah, I think overall just getting out there and playing, I think that's your most comfortable skill, or at least my skill, where I can be like, all right, this is pretty comfortable regardless of where I am. So yeah, not too bad, but yes, definitely lots of tears shed over my freshman year moving in.
So you're in San Mateo for a couple of years. You were 2-time all conference there. And then from there, you step up and end up in the Southeastern Conference, more than 1500 miles further east, over in Auburn, Alabama. How did you end up at Auburn?
Just kind of, I was pretty fortunate, just kind of the schools to come in, the opportunities I got to experience, or at least go on my visits on. Auburn, good question. I had no place, or I had no idea where Auburn was. Could tell me Georgia, Alabama, I'd probably have 50-50 guess at the time.
It's close to the border.
I don't know, just, yeah, close to the border, right? I went to junior college, and just so happened things worked out, did pretty well. And I was open with all these cool opportunities to go play solid baseball, probably this, if not the best baseball. And yeah, I kind of just put it all in, took 3 visits to 2 other schools, and just put in all the marble. That's kind of how it was going to junior college. You sacrifice so much that, I don't know, I guess at the end, you kind of don't want to cut yourself short for all that work you put in. So playing against the best, put yourself against the best. Confidence. My second year going out of junior college, I mean, yes, like there's going to be people all over playing, big names, big recruits, all that stuff. But it's kind of just for me, for my own personal, just to put it all in, kind of just, yeah, all in. You go all in at junior college. And so you wouldn't want to cut your work short, always chasing not perfection, but to keep yourself at the highest level. And so, yeah, that's kind of what it is. You kind of just push it in and press it and see what happens. That's kind of what I did. Put your best against somebody else's best and see where that takes you. So it's all right. Cool experience out of it. Definitely got to definitely put some good people, experience the College World Series, the Southern culture. And I guess, yeah, when I say that's my, or one of two growing, my biggest growing parts, that'd be my second one. Here down south, just people, baseball, traveling to other places. Baseball is a little more competitive, bigger, faster, stronger people. But yeah, just putting your best against other people's best. And that's kind of why I chose to go out there. And I have no regrets, I guess. If I had to write a story or write a book on how this career went.
In your time at Auburn, 2019, the program makes the College World Series for the first time ever. How neat was that?
That was cool. And I think that's, I mean, going back to your original question of the D2 World Series, you experience the Division I and it's awesome. Like, I think that's every player's dream, that or they should strive to do that, and try to, I mean, make it to Omaha. And I guess that was kind of like going back to your question, D2. We were really close, and that's the cool thing. When you're super close to something and you experienced it, it's an awesome feeling. So coming off of going to the 2019 World Series, and then trying to take or go with the Tritons in the 2020, kind of hit home, and it kind of just meant a little more. I mean, not a little more, but just kind of like there's something at stake, which is cool, especially something so close with the previous track record that the Tritons had, just in general. But yeah, just kind of like, it's cool. Every player's dream, or yeah, that's what they should strive for. And probably one of the coolest baseball experiences to be a part of and to share with just my teammates, my family, mom, them came up, my brother then came up. So it was just like a new, whole new level of baseball. And I mean, the amount of stuff put in and into the tournament.
Yeah, that's certainly a memory that you'll cherish and have forever. But during the season, you weren't an everyday player at Auburn. And at some point you decided to look elsewhere. What went into that decision to move on? And ultimately, how did you end up here at UC San Diego?
Wow, this is recorded, huh? I'm kidding. I mean, you go to junior college and you just like you play every day. And like you really do work hard out there. Cause you really don't go to school. I'm not sure if I'm supposed to say that either, but you go out there and you play 5 hours of baseball, 6 hours of baseball each day. And then, I mean, you go out there, you go to Auburn, you put your best out there. And I mean, stuff happened. Didn't play as much as I wanted to, especially playing every day or going from playing every day. But I think that's one of the cool things that just baseball humbles you. It is humbling for sure. Being the soft spoken kid or just the kind of easygoer, it is humbling to see. I mean, you have to transfer, but it's not the worst. Just didn't get enough at bats. Try to play every day, just kind of play my career out. And so that's kind of ultimately why I chose to transfer.
And then how did you end up here?
Funny story. They reached out my sophomore year or of junior college. So my last year of junior college. And I mean, they were able to take me back, which is super cool of them to do. Because I could see how coaches could feel indifferent about somebody that went somewhere else and wants to come back. So that was really cool that they took me back in the summer. It was really a short notice. I went to summer ball and I think came down in here for a visit in August, just a quick visit. Then I showed up in September. So that was an awesome kind of just rapid change, which is cool. Moved all my stuff out of Auburn, which is a tough part across the country.
I bet.
And yeah, I'm trying to fly. Parents didn't help me move out. So I actually went out to summer ball after the World Series and had to move all my stuff out, boxes, ship the boxes out, and then ship down in San Diego, move everything there. So that was a good experience, that whole transition, that summer going into that, leading up to that fall. But yeah, it was honestly the greatest transition. Can't complain being in San Diego, and just playing baseball. This is my second time in San Diego, but it was just kind of like, whoa, like you're in San Diego, just kind of like, you can look outside and it's sunny, or you can go outside and there's water. Just a little cold though. That's all I got to say.
I don't often hear San Diego and cold in the same sentence, but I suppose it's relative. Mm-hmm. Everett Lau is our guest this week on Triton Castle. How old were you when you started playing baseball?
Geez, I think I was like 5 or T-ball, whatever T-ball is. I'll be honest, it was not like, by like 7, I was not running. So soccer was not good with my feet. Basketball, why would I run? Wasn't really a basketball fan, soccer fan. Football, undersized. I mean, not trying to get hit or concussed or anything. So I was pretty kind of set on being a baseball player. Played hockey, so I can play a little roller hockey, and I can bowl, that I've discovered myself in high school. But other than that, I mean, yeah, just young age baseball, no parents with experience, just kind of like, hey, go out there and try to hold the bat and swing. So that was pretty cool.
So who taught you the game?
I don't know. I'd say my dad, my mom was like, hey son, I recommended to my dad, hey, you should go, let your son go hit left-handed. So that's how I'm a lefty today. That's the one thing I know for sure growing up.
So you're not really a lefty.
I am, but I think maybe my mom turned me into a lefty. Just kind of one of those things. The only thing I do is throw right. Which is cool to be in a baseball field because you can basically play wherever. So mom, in a way, helped me, set me up for success.
That's super. In terms of playing the infield, is there a different mindset between, say, third base and second base?
I think definitely so. Second base, you have a lot more time. I think that's the obvious one. I'm sure you've seen Baum play really well. Especially when I made the move to second base, which I think was awesome. I think, yeah, just the time and transition, how balls are hit, the spin. Most balls to third base are top spin. But yeah, just a quick decision to make, unlike second base where you have a little more time. So that transition moving from third to second was, I think, the best move for the team. And so I think that was great. Just played my years at junior college and at second base. But I mean, any infielder should be able to play anywhere else in the infield, to just bring value to yourself as a player and I guess to the team. So the incident kind of worked out as towards the end as we could, which is good. And that's kind of too late. It was a little later, but I mean, just to figure out something like that, was awesome. So playing second base, a lot of fun, always in the game. Yeah. And it's just, we'll have a little more time. The ball doesn't come as fast.
For you, what's the toughest pitch to hit?
Toughest pitch to hit? Oh, changeup. Changeup is the worst. Awful. B-Weed, if B-Weed is ever watching this, when I first got here in the fall, Brandon Weed's changeup destroyed me. So, yeah.
Last month, the team traveled to University of Hawaii and played at UH. Being back on Oahu, what was that experience like?
Wow. That was a month ago, huh?
Something like that.
That was cool to see. Just like my teammates got to come to my island and experience what life is like, the culture, people, food, especially when it's like a plane away, they can't just drive to Hawaii. So that was really cool to see more than me coming home. Me coming home was awesome because I got to play in front of my family, which was at the time cool because UH let people in for their senior night that weekend. So my family was able to come in, and thanks to UH for letting parents from the opposing team come in. And I mean, it all kind of worked out. It was really cool. I've only played in that stadium twice or three times at Lashmore Kami during high school. So going back was kind of foreign, even though I'm from there. But it's cool. Yeah, I got to play against high school friends. And that was just like it was a cool scene to see, just all four people from the same high school on the field. And especially with the live broadcast, so people could watch Hawaii and I guess watch me if they want to, didn't get bored or anything. But yeah, just kind of having everybody home and showing the hospitality. My parents were able to cook dinner for them and stuff, to just kind of have a little taste of Hawaiian food, which is awesome. Just to see what people would do with each little like individual dish and how they would eat it. And so it's just kind of cool. Everybody got to go to the beach. People's first time. So that was also like, whoa, that's cool to share with them. And just overall, it was a good experience, especially when we went 3-1. And there's kind of like towards the end where UCSD normally plays a better baseball. As we've seen the last stretch of the season. So it was awesome. Got to have fun. All my teammates had a blast, to say the least. Someone surfing. And yeah, it was pretty awesome to finish how it was, 3-1, and just kind of enjoy the rest of the series and finish out strong.
Yeah, yet another memorable moment for you and for the team. You're a communications major in Roosevelt College. Now that baseball's over, what's next?
I'm going to try to go to law school. There's no guarantees. That's why I'm so hesitant when I say this. Just because, I mean, you never know what happens. But yeah, I'm currently studying on the LSAT. I'm not sure, maybe a year after this or maybe in a couple of months, we'll see where that takes me. But other than that, I'm not too sure. If there's no such thing as being a lawyer, I'm not too sure what I'd be right now. And what is it like? I've been out of school for a whole quarter. So I graduated winter quarter or fall quarter. So I had no classes during the winter or winter quarter, something like that. And yeah, I mean, just trying to go out there and when I'm young, chase what I want to do, and then figure out the rest. But being a lawyer, I'm not sure what kind of lawyer, not a trial lawyer, but maybe like a corporate or real estate or something like that down the line would be awesome. And I'll probably do that back at home, studying there before I figure out if I have to apply and stuff. So that would be a cool future for me to see, especially after this baseball journey finish.
Where does your interest in law come from?
I don't know. Just me being me. I think the family's the medical side, and I'm not about the medical side, or just like it'd give me too much of a headache, the science and all that, like biochemistry. I'm like, no thanks. So it's just kind of one of those. It's just like I'd rather try to work to help, I guess, rather than trying to just work from an overall like big company standpoint. And yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I try to ask myself, but it's just more. Yeah. I wouldn't be able to sit in a building yet or anything. I mean, or like, I don't know. That's a good question. But I'm young, so I guess you never know what happens. So I could be doing something else besides taking my LSAT. I mean, few years down the line. But that's where my heart and soul is right now. Try to get that going since I'm assuming this baseball career is done. But I'm excited, looking forward to a new chapter in my life. I'm trying to go to more school, which seems crazy to people, but I guess it's mine to me.
A lot of people do it. So if baseball is done, what will you miss the most about playing competitively?
Wow. Sounds cliche, but probably just, wow. I was going to say the team, but I mean, yeah, I guess just a team environment. I would say that. I think it's just like, there's so many different parts of a team that it's just like individual success at baseball doesn't really matter. I mean, it does, but the overall team success will help the individual success in that sense. And like, I just think that now that I've left, just like seeing how everything grown, it's just kind of like, wow, like you were the start of it, but like you were the start of the first Division I program that kind of just like paved the way. And I mean, it was pretty successful overall. I wouldn't say I did the best in the season, but I overall don't think the team did the worst, regardless of whatever happens after this with people's baseball careers. And I think that was pretty cool. The team just kind of like an even level-headed group of guys, which is hard to find, especially a team with 35, 40 dudes. Just everybody pulling for each other. And I think that's something I'll definitely miss here, especially at UCSD. Because, I mean, you go somewhere else and people are trying to get paid and whatnot. So there's just a different sort of environment within the group of guys that was like, wow, this is pretty cool. Everybody's happy for each other, regardless of what happens. So I would say that's something that I would be like, wow, that's pretty cool. People pulling for each other and rooting for each other. Out of like, I mean, only 9 guys can play the field. So it's like, it's pretty cool that, I mean, whether you're the nine guys or not, like, it's pretty cool that everybody would still go out there and pretty much support each other. And that's probably something, I mean, you do see often, but genuinely you don't feel, you know, that kind of like, you see a lot of people be like, oh yeah, I'm happy for them. But like genuine happy people. So that was awesome. Awesome.
That's great stuff. Well, Everett Lau is our guest this week on TritonCast. You ready for some quick picks?
Let's do it. I'm ready.
All right. We'll start off with an easy one. Ocean or pool?
I'm an ocean person. Pools are a little too fake. You never know what happens in kiddie pools.
Beach or mountains?
Oh, I would say mountain. I'm not too much of an ocean person. You could ask my friends.
Fair enough. Sunrise or sunset?
Not a morning person, so I guess I'd say sunset.
What's your favorite food?
I would say sushi, even on a full stomach. Sushi. Hot answer.
All right. Favorite pizza topping?
Favorite pizza topping? Not pineapple. Pineapple doesn't belong on pizzas. Maybe sausage or pepperoni. But I did have this pizza at, do you know where Bongiorno's is on Del Mar?
Yes.
Delicious pizza. Hands down, best pizza I've ever had in San Diego, or like in general.
Ooh. Wow.
I think. And I'm from Hawaii, so I don't know if that's saying much or anything.
Yeah, but you were adamant about the no pineapple part.
Yeah, no pineapple. I have some teammates that think pineapple on pizza, but no.
What's your favorite holiday?
I think it would have to be like everybody else in Christmas. Boring.
It's not boring. Singing or dancing?
Wow. That's really out of my comfort show. I'd have to say I'd hit it with the singing. My voice ain't the greatest, but I could hold the bass.
All right. All right. What's your walk-up song?
My walk-up song was One Day by Common Kings. Yes. I'm pretty sure that's, yeah. Yes, yes, yes.
Good and stuff. Is that something you kind of had throughout your career, or were you one of those who changed it frequently?
No, I'm not. I'm more of the reggae genre. So that's kind of why I went that route. I think I had something different the last year.
What's one place you most want to visit that you've never been?
Japan, for sure.
Why?
Japan. Just out of the country, and I'm a big sushi person. That's just culture. I heard is pretty good. One of my roommates are Japanese, full Japanese. So maybe he'll take me. But just the culture, everything. I've never gone yet. They're in Europe, but Japan first. Yes.
You've sort of answered this already, but favorite type of music?
I would say, I don't really listen to it much, you know, in a sense, I listen to anything, but yeah, I guess reggae would be a mix of everything, but reggae could have that 1% of everything.
All right. Time for you to play tour guide for a second. Someone's coming to Oahu for the first time. What's one touristy place that everybody hears about, but that they still do need to go see?
Ooh, one. Let's see. Anywhere, huh? If I was a tourist, I would take them to the North Shore. I would not take them to Waikiki. But the North Shore, and that's a tough one. I would leave it as to go on a hike or to go and eat shrimp on the North Shore.
Is that Giovanni's?
Yes, there's a bunch out there. Giovanni's one of them.
Okay.
And yeah, that's that's the way to go, I think. Don't go down to Waikiki what we did.
Well, you got to stay by UH when you're there on a business trip.
That's true, yeah. On a business trip, huh? Yeah.
Right. We'll call it that. Malasadas, what's your take on those?
Malasadas, yes. Have to try those. There's these poi donuts. That's actually, yes. I'm not a sweets person just because I had way too many calories, but yes, malasadas, and there's these things called poi donuts. Like,
interesting.
They're taro, but they're like made into malasadas or like glazed donuts, and just something cool that Hawaii offers. Almost like ube pancakes, but have you had ube pancakes?
I have not, no.
Are there those like the purple pancakes or whatever they're called?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so basically like that in like a malasada doughy shape and texture.
Sounds like it's worth trying. What's All right, so Waikiki is a little touristy maybe, but what's a restaurant that you would recommend that's, you know, popular with tourists, and then what's one that's kind of off the beaten path?
I hear a lot of Dukes. Dukes okay. is always, I mean, there's Dukes out here, right?
Yep.
But it's just right on the water. So I think that's a really cool, I guess, ambiance. Let's see. That's in Waikiki. If I had to go off the beaten path, wow. I would say Nico's Fish Shop, not the one in San Diego. There's one right by the airport, and it's right by fresh fish from the auction from that morning.
Oh, wow.
Just because they're right by the pier. And so I would say that's the place where people should go, because I mean, that's where I go off the airport when I get home and stuff.
I love it. What's your sushi spot?
Sushi spot. Wow. Wow. That's a good question. I have no real favorite places.
Okay.
There's just kind of more like just favorite. I'm a big salmon person. Salmon, that's my fish of choice. Yeah, you can find sushi basically everywhere in Hawaii. It's kind of like one of those, instead of McDonald's roaming around, there's sushi, I guess. sushi, I would say no favorite places, because I would not want to be like, oh, that sushi's bad, but you know what bad sushi is, but...
True.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And lastly, pregame superstitions.
Pregame,
or in game.
Half my sandwich, and my other half goes to some other teammate.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Only eat half my sandwich, or no sandwich, but the other half, or the whole sandwich. Depending, but no full sandwich, never the full sandwich.
Too much?
Too much.
Fair enough. All right, Everett, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. This is awesome. Genuinely, thank you for having me, especially when the season's done and stuff.
Such an enjoyable conversation with Everett Lau, and what a way to end his senior season at UC San Diego. Well, you won't want to miss an all-new episode of TritonCast next week. Coming up on episode 52, we'll chat with UC San Diego women's basketball alum, Shondeen Armeo. We'll hear all about her playing career as a Triton and learn about the tremendous impact she's making as a research assistant with the Indian Health Council. New episodes of TritonCast premiere each Wednesday. Thanks so much for listening to this week's show. If you like what you heard, subscribe, rate the show, write us a brief review. And don't forget, you can find us on all your favorite podcast platforms like Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Audible, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Verbal. And for more on TritonCast, follow us on Twitter at TritonCast. And if you have a suggestion for a future guest, send us a tweet. Or you can email Jenny and me at TritonCast@UCSD.edu. We'll see you back here next week.